We want you to travel its surface to see its mighty civilization, a civilization so advanced, so glorious that you may not be able to comprehend. The colors you see here are different to those to which you are accustomed on Earth, but Earth is not the center of civilization. Colors are different on each world and depend upon the circumstances and requirements of each of those worlds. You will look about this world, and my voice will accompany you. And when you have seen enough of this world to make its greatness apparent, you will travel into the past, and then you shall see how worlds are discovered, how worlds are born, and how we try to help those who are willing to help themselves. Remember this always, we of space are not perfect, for perfection cannot exist when one is in the material state of being in any portion of any universe, but we try, we do the best we can. There are some in the past, as you will agree, who have been very good, and some who to our sorrow have been very bad. But we do not desire your world, the Earth, we desire instead that you should develop it, that you should live there, but we must ensure that the works of man do not pollute space and endanger the people of other worlds. But now you will see more of this, the leading world. I mused upon all these worlds, said the old hermit. I pondered deeply on the portent behind the remarks, because it seemed to me that all this talk of brotherly love was but a sham. My own case, I thought, is one which shows up the fallacy of this argument. Here am I, admittedly a poor and ignorant native of a very poor, arid, underdeveloped country, and absolutely against my wishes I was captured, operated upon, and so far as I knew forced out of my body. Here I was, where? The talk of doing so much for the good of humanity seemed rather hollow to me. The voice broke in upon my disturbed thoughts, saying, "Monk, your thoughts are vocalized to us by our instruments, and your thoughts are not correct thoughts. Your thoughts, indeed, are the fallacies. We are the gardeners, and a gardener has to remove dead wood, he has to pluck unwanted weeds. But when there is a better shoot, then sometimes the gardener has to take away the shoot from the parent plant and even graft elsewhere, that it may develop as a new species, or even develop more greatly as its own species. According to your own beliefs, you have been rather roughly treated. According to our beliefs, you are being given a signal honor, an honor reserved for very, very few people of the world's species, an honor reserved." The voice hesitated and then went on, "Our history goes back billions of years of Earth time, billions and billions of years, but let us suppose that the whole life of your planet which you call Earth was represented by the height of the Potala, then the lifetime of man upon the Earth could be likened to the thickness of one coat of paint upon the ceiling of one room. Thus it is, you see, man is so new upon the Earth that no human has the right to even attempt to judge what we do. Later your own scientists will discover that their own laws of mathematical probabilities will indicate clearly that there is evidence of the existence of extraterrestrials. It will also indicate that for real evidence of extraterrestrials they must look beyond the far reaches of their own island universe and out into other universes beyond that which contains your world. But this is neither the time nor the place to indulge in a discussion of this nature. Accept the assurance that you are doing good work and that we know best in this. You wonder where you are, and I will tell you that your disembodied spirit, only temporarily detached from your body, has journeyed beyond the furthest reaches of your own universe and has gone right to the center of another universe, to the center city of the chief planet. We have much to show you, and your journey, your experiences, are just beginning. Be assured, however, that what you are seeing is that world as it is now, as it is at this moment, because in the spirit time and distance mean nothing. Now we want you to look about to familiarize yourself with that world upon which you now dwell, so that you may the more easily credit the evidence of your senses when we come to much more important things, because soon we shall send you into the past. Into the past through the Akashic record, where you will see the birth of your own planet, Earth." The voice ceased, said the old hermit, and he stopped for a few moments while he took a sip of his tea, which was now quite cold. Reflectively he set aside his bowl and clasped his hands together, after rearranging his robe. The young monk rose and put more wood upon the fire and pulled the blanket more tightly round the old hermit's shoulders. "Now," continued the old man, "I was telling you that I was in a state of panic. Yes, indeed I was in a state of panic, and then as I dangled there over this immensity I found myself dropping, I found myself passing various levels or bridges between great towers, I found myself dropping down to what appeared to be a very pleasant bark raised on a platform, or so it seemed so supported to me. There was the red grass, and then to my astonishment at one side I found green grass. There was a pond in the red grass which had blue water and another pond in the patch of green grass which had heliotrope water. About the two were congregated an amazing assortment of peoples. By now I was beginning to distinguish somewhat which were natives of this world and which were visitors from afar. There was something subtle in the bearing and comportment of those who were native here. They appeared the superior species, and fully aware of that status. About the pools there were those who appeared